to Rabbi Eli to begin.
Thank you, Bishus Moreno, Rav Shlita. A very hearty mazel tov to families Ormond and Shmulian on the occasion of the Chasna of Uri this week. Shachat Shnachas, all should give a short tov mitzlachas, and they should be zoche to build a binyan adiyad of bais nemon be Yisrael. It's very nice. It's even more nice when one knows both sides. And in enjoying the presence of Leonard today, I would also say to Leonard, L'chaim aruchim, for the outside of your dear father, which I remember would be on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
And if there was an example of anyone in this kehila who demonstrated the virtue of chesed, it was Mark and Nina Ormond. It's probably not well known, but there was a young teenage boy who had connections with this kehila, who was going in for gerus, and it was a condition of his gerus that he has to live with a from family. And Mark and Nina Ormond, Leonard's parents, stepped forward and said, "We will take him in," and they treated him like their own son. And it was in the most amazing demonstration of chesed. There's an interesting medrash in Bereishis Rabbo, Shemos Rabbo, where Moshe Rabbeinu is asked to bring out Klal Yisrael from Egypt. And Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "I first have to ask permission from Yisro, my father-in-law." Yisro, a non-Jewish guy, he had to ask permission, because it says that Yisro took Moshe in and treated him like his own son and gave him a place to live and made him part of the family. And there the Midrash says that one owes even more kibbud to somebody like that who brings one into one's own house, more kibbud than kibbud avaim. That such is to demonstrate the kindness of somebody who brings somebody into their own house, and that's something to not forgotten. So mazel tov, Leonard, and to Jerome and family for the chasna of your granddaughter. Mazel tov, Howard. It's a really nice occasion. Also hatzlacha rabba to Mossy Greenwood, who I understand is starting yeshiva. And hatzlacha rabba to you. So last time we dealt with Kaddish part one. Doesn't matter if you missed it. Thanks again to Henry for suggesting this topic. The last time we spoke more about sources and stories and the rationale. Today we'll speak a bit more about practical stuff. But in general, Gemara Shabbos, Kufya Tes, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kola Oni Amen B'chol Kocho, somebody who answers Amen Yeheshmei Rabba to a Kaddish, It opens up the gates of Gan Eden to the deceased, to the Nifta, and it's a great merit. So, nevertheless, we should put it into context. Rabbi Yo Lapion brought from the suburb of Kelm, saying, yes, it's true that Yeheshmei Rabba is very important. In fact, it's the equivalent of 1,000 Omeins. But nevertheless, 1,000 Yeheshmei Rabbas is not as great as one word of Torah study. So, to give merit to the departed, if we are learning Torah, that is a big zechus for the Niftarim even more. There are 10 expressions when we say Kaddish. We have expressions of Yiskadal and Yiskadash and Yisparach, Yishtabach, Yispar, Yisharman, Yisnaseh, Yisadov, Yisaleh, Yishalol. There are 10 expressions corresponding to the Aseres Hadibros, the 10 Mamaros with which the world was created, and then Kabbalah, there's the 10 Sefiros. What if a person is unable to say Kaddish in Aramaic, or even Lashon HaKodesh? Can one say it in a language one oneself understands? Mishnah Berurah says yes, Siman Nun Hei, Sifkot Nun Aleph, it's perfectly okay. But in practice, what people do is they use a transliteration. If they can't read Hebrew properly, you do get shuls which put out a transliterated form of English. But the problem with that is that the pronunciations never come out right. You know, there was once a guy called up to the Sefer Torah and he couldn't read Hebrew, so he read the English transliteration and he said the bracha on being called up. He said, "Asher botcha bonu mikol ha'amim." So, in fact, it may even be better, according to Shutz Maim Chaim, to say the Kaddish in a foreign language rather than in a distorted Hebrew. If one mixes up the ayins and the Alephs and the Hays and the Cheses and so on, then he says it's better to do it in one's own language. Well, so is the Pesach. some have the custom to do various bows during Kaddish. When you say the Yisgadal, you bow. Is it the same bowing like Shemoneh Esrei? Not really. A short bow is really adequate, but not everyone follows this minhag. This custom comes on the Yisgadal, on the Yehoshemei Rabbah, on the Yisparach, on the Brichu, and on the Zamir Ba'omavir, on the Omei. But according to the Vilna Gaon, he says, no, we don't add to the kurios, to the bowings, which were part of the original takonos. So we concentrate more today on Kaddish Yosom, which is the mourner's Kaddish. We spoke last time about the various forms of Kaddish and the rationale behind them. So a person says Kaddish for a parent, nebuch, when one loses a parent. So the practice is to say the Kaddish for 11 months. Why not 12 months? After all, does not the Gemara Married Kohen Chaf Aleph and Yerudershin Pehei talks about when one greets an Ovel, one gives them the Choma for 12 months, one gives them comfort, and you don't really ask an Ovel how he is because it gives him Simcha. We don't say, how are you? You can say, how's the family? And that is for 12 months. So why can't one say Kaddish for 12 months? And the Gemara says that for Simchas, 30 days, all Avelim, even if Avelis for a sister or brother or whatever, then one keeps Avelis for 30 days, and it says that Avelis lasts for 12 months. One doesn't go to a sin for 12 months, so why do we cut it short? So there's a Mishnah in Uduyos, Perek Beis Mishnah Yud, which says, Mishpat Rishoyim Begehenim Hu Yud Beis Chadoshim, that there is an Indian that the Rishoyim need a salvation for 12 months. And since we don't want to label our parent, you're my right hand man. Since one does not want to label one's parent as a Rasha, because there is this thing about that the Rishoyim needs 12 months of salvation, therefore we cut it short and we make it 11 months. Because we don't want to make people think that our parents were Rishoyim. So you can ask the question, do we really care what people think? You know, I know for a fact that my father was not a Rasha, but if it's a zechus for his neshama, I can say Kaddish for 12 months. Why shouldn't I say the Kaddish for 12 months? I don't have to look over my shoulder to look at what other people are saying. All right, maybe Rishoyim need it, but everybody can do with it. So this question comes up in the Achronim, and, you know, why should we be worried about it? After all, okay, we give benefit of the doubt, we say. We give a benefit of the doubt, to anybody who was niftar, we say Kaddish for 11 months, and we don't want to label anybody who might be regarded as a Rasha.
I don't know if you're going to mention that the same applies to davening at the Omer.
The same applies to davening at the Omer, 11 months.
So the Sofer says, and this is Rabbi Cooper pointed out to me when I was at Omer, that you should still daven occasionally at the Omer in the 12th month.
Yeah. And as it was discussed just before we started, Kaddish Rabbonon doesn't have to be said by an Ovel. Yeah. Anybody, somebody with parents can say Kaddish Rabbonon. Al Yisrael Rabbonon Al Kol Tamidehon. It's a glorification of Talmud Torah why we say Kaddish Rabbonon. So there's nothing really to stop such a person who stops after 11 months, maybe to say a Kaddish Rabbonon in the 12th month. You know, one Kaddish a day might be good enough. That might satisfy his anxiety, but that's not the practice that's done. 11 months, stop, and that's it. So why is it that we are so particular about the 11 months? We don't care what other people think about our parents if we know our parents were righteous people. The Midrash at the end of Koheles says that when a person dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Malach HaShoreis, go down and see what is being said about this Niftah. That when we judge that person, we will also go by that the way that person was perceived. If that person was nice to others, did good deeds, or if that person maltreated others, let that be taken into account. All right, there are hespedim where everything is glorified and one always hears what a wonderful tzaddik this crook was, you know, as we say, acharei mos kadoshim. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you know, find out, do your spy work, and see what the general attitude was, what people are saying, and we will take that into account. In fact, the misnagdim say HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes decrees, and the Sadiqim Amakayim, the Sadiqim fulfill what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed. But the Hasidim say it the other way around. The Hasidim say Tzadik goes there, Because the tzaddik is so righteous that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tzaddik. So if the tzaddik goes there something, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Makayim. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill what the tzaddik is saying. So in the same vein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Melech HaShoyis, let's see what people are saying, let's see, and then we decide how that person is. So the Sefer Hasidim, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, says no, not even one extra day. You stop after 11 months, we do not add. Because we don't want any suggestion that the Sotan might be Makatrig, that there could be an accusation. Oh, an extra day, that person was a Rasha. Nevertheless, there are certain sources that Arizal, the Seichemid, brings down, that 12 months is no harm to the Nifta, it's as a plus for the Nifta. And according to the Beis Yitzchok, even in a leap year, you say Kaddish for 13 months. You know, in a leap year, we still say Kaddish for 11 months. And then you've got a 2-month gap till the outside. But the Beis Yitzchok says, no, count 11 months. But the Minhag Olam is 11 months. But interestingly, there is a Sefer called Pele Yoei, it's a very classic Sefer. And he says that even if you've stopped saying Kaddish, you can carry on saying a different prayer, and you can carry on saying that after the year, even your whole life, you can say this prayer for your parent. It's a Yehi Rotzon Mefanach Hashem Elokeinu Melekei Aviseinu Shetekabel Barachem Mevorotzon Kol Maase Hatov Asher Ani Oseh, that any good deed I do, any mitzvah that I do, should be a zechus for my parents. Bein b'machshava, bein b'dibur, bein b'maisa, whether it's in thought, word, or deed, v'yei hakol zakos ulemenuchas ule'ilu nefesh ruach u'neshama shel ovi v'imi v'chomi v'chamosi. He says, also my father-in-law and my mother-in-law. Did you hear that? You pray for your mother-in-law.
Only when she's dead.
All right, I didn't hear that. As a matter of fact, I had a very nice mother-in-law. Yiratzon shetehi nafsha tzura b'tzura ha'chaim. And one says Yiratzon shetehi nafsha or nafsha will be merited for everlasting rest and peace. And that is a tefillah one can say that every mitzvah that I do. You know, you're helping a blind man across the road, you give money to tzedakah, you're learning Torah, Shabbos, particularly with halachas, or anything. Kashrus, everything is lezakas, that what you're walking in the street and you are thinking mitzvahs, there's a 6 zechiros, 6 rememberings. Any mitzvah you're doing can be a merit to the departed. So it's not just the Kaddish. And as we said earlier, that the learning of Torah has an even greater power than the Kaddish has. 1,000 times greater. So that's something interesting. There is a common practice for everybody to say Kaddish together. Most shuls do this. But there is a question in halacha whether 2 voices together can be heard. You hear one voice, you hear clarity. You hear 2 voices, you hear disruption. So is it valid? But nevertheless, most communities do it that way. There are some shuls, Munk Shul has one Kaddish at a time, although because there's sometimes many Avelim, what they do is that the very last Kaddish, the Avelim line up, or those who want to say Kaddish for someone who's not really a relative, they line up and they say it together. There was a custom in the South Tottenham Adas for many years, only one Kaddish at a time, but sadly there were lots of Avelim and they couldn't cope, so their minhag changed, and they now have Kaddish together, but they line up behind the bima so that they're saying it all together. I saw that's the practice in Ohel Moshe in Leaside Crescent. But and you could
Bridge
question...
I think in Bridge Lane.
In Bridge Lane as well. But you could question this, because if 2 voices are not heard properly and they're lining up and saying it together, then you're not really hearing any of them. Whereas if you hear a guy saying Kaddish behind your shoulder on your right side and another guy saying Kaddish at a different speed on your left side, then it's not Trei Kaloi Lo Rishtoi. Then you're diving 2 voices disturbing, because you're hearing single voices separately. So there is an argument to say, leave matters as they are. You know, let's not spill the beans and rock the apple cart, as it were. So
should you go to a different shul if you can't say Kaddish in your normal shul?
Yeah, you can do.
Is it so important that you should go to a different shul?
Ah, to leave a makom kavua, I don't think it's necessary to. No,
you'll get at least one.
Yeah, you go in those shuls where only one at a time is said, and in fact, poskim say that you shouldn't say too many kaddishim. It cheapens it. If you say one a day, it's good enough. But if you approach the gabba and you say, "Can I please have a kaddish?" then the gabba will try as best as he can to sort things out for you. They try to be as fair as possible.
Matthew Ephraim in the first sif or second says that after Shir Shel Yoyim you shouldn't say Kaddish if you're going to say Lo Avodah Hashem Ori.
Yeah. There are some communities are particular to put the Dovr Hashem Ari earlier, like straight after Tachanun, so that it's followed by a Kaddish, that a Kaddish goes on the Dovr Hashem Ari.
We say the Shir Shel Yoim and the Dovr Hashem Ari, because it should have been the Ma'abev Kaddish.
Yeah, not to be multiplying too many. So Rav Yaakov Emden said, we established this custom that everybody says Kaddish because we want to prevent machlokas. You know, you have a shul where the gabba has to give out this one a Kaddish and that one a Kaddish, and it might not work out so easily, so you might leave somebody else till mincha, and you might get machlokas. And it's very easy from these things for machlokas to start. And for that reason alone, he says, it's a good idea that everyone says Kaddish together and you'll never get machlokas happening. And so that's the way many communities do it. But machlokas can even easily happen. When I was oval for my father, and I was in a shtiebel, and I started ashrei for mincha, and just before I finished the ashrei, a big burly man came in and shouted out, I've got yahrzeit today! So although I was a chiyuv, I was in the 11 months, it wasn't a yahrzeit, and a yahrzeit does have precedence over somebody who's in Yud Aleph Chodesh. So I had already started, and I was a paid up member, and this guy wasn't, and so the question is, you know, do we give way to the guy? So, what do you think I did?
You gave away.
I gave in.
I hadn't said, and Rebbe Cooper said, you do not give away.
Right, well, this is an interesting question. So I just stood back and I said, I just went like this and motioned to him, look, if you want to take it, because I'm not going to start a fight with you. But he was adamant that he has to have the omen. He came late, for goodness sake. You know, at least if you want him to be at the omen, then come 5-10 minutes early. But he came late. We had already started. But I did stand back. And somebody came up to me afterwards and said, you shouldn't have done that. He said, because it's not your covered in standing at the omen. It's your father's covered. And you can't be mochel. You can't relax the covert for your father, and therefore you should not have given in. So I just shrugged and I said, well, that's what my father would have wanted. And interestingly, I came across this subject.
It's interesting that if someone does come late to shul then and wants to say tiskabel, it's really wrong for them to stand up and say tiskabel when he wasn't there at the beginning.
That's true.
Yeah. So really speaking, you said, depending on how late you did come.
Yeah, okay, but the Tiskabel is on the Shemona Esra, and he was there for the Shemona Esra. You know, you could say that. The whole idea of Kaddish is to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Barabim. It's not really a prayer for the dead. It's a prayer which evokes, which provokes other people to say Yehei Shemei Rabo. That glorifies Hashem. It's a Kiddush Shem Shemayim Barabim, and that in turn is a zechus for the neshama, and it elevates the neshama of the departed. Now, if there's going to be any machlokas, then there's no Kiddush Shem Shemayim Barabim. It's a chilul Hashem, and one can do other things, as we discussed before: learning Torah, doing Chesed, giving tzedakah. Whenever there's a cause of machlokas, the neshama loses out. So, in that respect, one doesn't give in, but there are both sides of the argument. Thanks. I didn't know that Rabbi Cooper said this. But the Sefer Zichron Meir writes, "Kashiyeh sheish chashash kolshu." If there's the slightest possibility, shel machlokas, an argument will start. Yivater al hatfila lifnei hateva v'al aliyah l'torah. One should give up one's davening before the omud, and also an aliyah. Having an aliyah, because, you know, somebody's about to have yahrzeit or finish the shiva, gets an aliyah. It once happened that I had yahrzeit coming the following week, and the gabba forgot to call me up. So I said nothing. I thought, oh, okay, big deal. So I'll learn a Mishnah instead. But somebody else went up to the gabba. Hey, said, did you know what you just did? You missed out. And he pointed at me. You didn't. And that provoked a little. I didn't want to have anything to do with this argument. So the gabba came up to him and apologised and said, come in for mincha, please, please. I'll give you an aliyah at mincha. He felt so guilty, but yeah, big deal. Okay, very nice. You know, if you get up early, you go to Ashkama, you go to another shul, you go to another shul. In one Shabbos morning, you could get 3 aliyahs if you really wanted to. Especially on Simchas Torah, you can get 10 aliyahs. Okay, we'll move away from that and see how much time we've got. Another interesting chestnut, we might have mentioned it before, and that is the concept of, can women say Kaddish for the departed? I did once walk into a shul in Chicago, in Skokie, a very frum shul, and there were six or seven women on the other side of the mechitza who were saying Kaddish, and it was an accepted norm. And in fact, my grandmother, when she was 12 years old, so she was born in 1882, which meant that in 1894, she was standing at a United Synagogue-based Olam next to the grave of her father, who died at the age of 35 from pneumonia, from a boat trip he took from London to Newcastle. And she was told to say Kaddish. And my father always wondered whether it was the right thing or not, but he said that's what happened. She was told by the cleric at the time, whoever there was there, the rabbi at the time. And I understand from Henry Erich that in Goschalk's shul in Golders Green, Rabbi Shmuel Zechasat Ibracha did tell Caroline Lindsay to say Kaddish when she had no brothers, so there was nobody else to say Kaddish for the departed. He told her to say it on the other side of the mechitza.
Yeah, with her.
Yeah, Alan said it with her on his side of the mechitza. Right. So, yeah, that is the question. Because if there are no men saying Kaddish, can a woman say the Kaddish? But there's no Kolish as such, because there's no singing. But certainly if she says it with the men, that's fine. But this is debated a lot by a number of poskim. The Shavuos Yaakov writes in Chelek Beis, he suggests that to avoid any controversy, there should be a minyan at home where a woman can say Kaddish. And this is brought in the Shari Tshuva. But nevertheless, in Haparades, Shnor Lutches, it says Rav Henkin, who was a real gadol, he allowed Kaddish to be said by ladies, if provided it was in the ladies' gallery behind the mechitza, and said at the same time as men who are reciting it. There's a Shalos Tshuvas which I was delighted to discover I had it. The Beis Ovi Chelek Beis Simen Yudalad, Rabbi Yitzchok Libas, who wrote in 1976, he was from New York City, and he discusses Kaddish by women, not only in shul for a Kaddish Yosom as part of the service, but also to add a Kaddish after Yizkor. That some communities have had the custom that after Yizkor and Yom Tov there is a Kaddish said, even though there was never any takona to do so. But he noted that it was a custom in some communities. So he felt it was correct that there should be a mizmor said of Tehillim before such a Kaddish in order to justify that one doesn't really say a Kaddish because of the Yizkor, but one says it for a Tehillim. The Chavos Yoer, a very important source, is quoted by the Pirkei Teshuva, a story about in Amsterdam, a man had left an instruction that after he dies, his daughter should say Kaddish for him because he had no sons. And it was organized that 10 men were learning in her house or in his house, and that the daughter would say Kaddish thereafter. And he writes, "V'lo michu bo chachmei ha-ke'ila." And the rabbis of the town did not tell anybody off for this, they just accepted it. And he says in his tshuva that women are commanded in Kiddush Hashem just like men are commanded in Kiddush Hashem. And what is a Kaddish? It's a Kiddush Hashem. So that a daughter can also raise the neshama of a parent just like a son can. But then he writes at the end, we're worried about rocking the boat here if the minhag throughout generations has been that women are not saying Kaddish, that people might start mocking Chachmei Yisrael for having an established minhag, and therefore he sits on the fence a bit on this. But there are a number of sources that if there are 10 men around, certainly you've got a Kiddush Hashem, whether she's there or not. So he writes, L'chatchila, best to avoid, but b'di'eved, it's a minhag which has already become established in some communities, you can't stop it. And Musaf Shiyu Shogigin, better that people do it b'shogeg rather than b'mezid. That's his attitude. But the Gesher HaChayim, which is a classic source on Avelus, he writes Shin Chafhei that if she is below the age of 12, then she should say Kaddish, but not if she's above the age of 12. In fact, the whole concept of Kaddish was originally instituted for the Katanim, for the children to say, because children cannot lead the davening at the Omud. So since the son below the age of 12 cannot lead davening, that is why the son is saying Kaddish. It was primarily directed at for the children. So the Gesher HaChayim directs it at a girl below 12, but the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch is not happy about the custom of women saying Kaddish, even at home. There's a Sefer HaKaddish, Tamim HaLochas V'Minhagim, which says that if there are already men saying Kaddish and there are women behind the mechitza, he says, ein chashash, there's no problem at all if women are saying Kaddish. And the Sefer Tarich Yisrael writes in Siman Yotzes that he asked personally Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, who said that a woman may say Kaddish in the Ezras Noshim. So it's a question of minority and majority, but we leave it open. And moving on, saying Kaddish for others other than one's own parents is a widespread practice, especially if, say, an aunt had no children, or a friend, or somebody else in the community. There's a minhag, of course, to say Kaddish for that person, and it's best then if that Kaddish is specifically for that person, and not for a number of different niftorim. There are some orphanages and yeshivas which will say Kaddish for the departed, they take money for it, but if the person is saying Kaddish then for the nifta, it should be for that particular individual. I had an aunt who was nifta in the year 1991, my mother's sister, and she was childless. And she left a tzavar, a written instruction, that I should say Kaddish for her till my 120 years are up. And that after my 120 years are up, my son, who was then 3 or 4 years old, should say Kaddish for her until he is 120. So it wasn't a problem for me that my father was still alive, but there was, it was a shaila for me because my father was still alive. My mother had been nifta, but can I say Kaddish for a departed when I still have a living parent? So this was the question that I brought to the Rav, and my father wasn't so comfortable about it. When I asked my father, you know, can you give me your permission to say Kaddish for my auntie Miriam, he felt very uncomfortable. So I didn't push it further, and I said, okay, I realized he didn't really want it. It gave him discomfort. So I spoke to the Rav, and the Rav said to me, you do not have to say the Kaddish. And neither does your son, who will grow up never having known your aunt. He does not have to say the Kaddish. As it happens...
Why didn't her stepson say Kaddish?
Pardon?
Why didn't her stepson say Kaddish?
Oh, yes, she did have a stepson.
Yeshai.
Yes. I don't know. I don't think he did say Kaddish for her, but I have two cousins who were already Avelim, I think. Harry and Maxie Goldstein, and they were saying Kaddish for her. And now I have neither my parents here. I do say Kaddish for her on her yacht site. But to expect my son to do so, it's not something which is necessary for them to do. That is the Pesach. There is, in fact, a ninin in Kabbalah that the Neshama needs Zechusim for 50 years. After 50 years, the Neshama is already so high up and elevated that it doesn't need these Zechusim anymore. I found, in fact, a letter my father wrote to me, and he said to me, when I'm not here anymore, please give every year the sum of £15 to Yeshivas Chai Olam in my name. Wow. So when I discovered this letter, in fact, the letter was given to me many years back, in 1988 it was dated, but I had forgotten about it, but I left it in a sefer which I use every single year. So I knew that sometime in the future I will find it. And so it happened. I found this letter after my father was nifta, and I thought, crumbs, what do I do? Is it every single year forever? Is the money to come from his estate? How does it work? And can I give one lump sum, or do I have to give every year? So I asked the Shiloh about this when I was sitting with my brother in Toronto, Canada, when we asked a number of Shilohs on this subject to do with my father. And he said the Neshama needs Zechusim for 50 years. So you have to give for 50 years this sum of money to Yeshivas Chai Olam. It should come from his estate. And better that it's given separately every single year, rather than one lump sum saying here's for 50 years. Because what will these people do? They'll put the whole lot in one go into the bank, and then 49 years, that zechus will not happen. Which is very difficult to remember, you know. So how does one do this in practice? But anyway, I think I've sorted that one out.
Maybe we're going to get to this, but some people say Kaddish on the outside of a grandparent. I asked Diane Cohen about that. He said that's not the minhag.
It's not the minhag. Some do it, some don't. It doesn't do any harm. No. I organised with my family a matseva for my great-grandfather, the one I mentioned before, who died at the age of 35. So he died in 1895. And after a lot of research, it was a bit difficult to find his grave. But with the help of the archivist of the United Synagogue and the documentation, I found the exact spot of his grave, and there was no matseva on it. Because they had a rule, if you couldn't afford to pay for the levaya, you were not allowed to have a matseva. They couldn't afford a loaf of bread. He died leaving a widow and 8 children, you know, penniless. So they didn't have a matseva. So we organized, 100 years later, the matseva. And we got a minyan together, and we said a kaddish. And there was a Rav present who said, you know, you didn't really have to do that to say the Kaddish, because more than 50 years are up. It was 100 years later, but okay. All right, we said a Kaddish. It was the Kaddish Shem Shemai Barabim. And the Minach Sfard, and Nusach Sfard, and Eved Mizrach, and others, Chabad, insert 4 words in the Kaddish, the Atzmach Pukunei V'Korev Mashiachei. The Mashiach should come quickly. What a wonderful thing to say, but it's not the Minach in Nusach Ashkenaz. So the obvious thing is, you follow the custom of the place. If you're davening in a shul which davened Nusach Sfad, you should say those 4 words. It happened once in Haga's shul that a Yekish fellow from Munks was saying Kaddish, and he said in Haga's, V'yatzmach b'kunei v'kroi m'shichei, and a fellow Yekah came up to him and said, you're not meant to say that, you're Nusach Ashkenaz. He says, don't worry, I didn't really mean it. But the origin of these words is a bit obscure. The Rambam does include them. Although he suggests that you don't say Amen to those words. The Brisker Rav would not answer Amen to it, but there's an interesting sefer called HaKabbalah B'Tfilah, written by Rav Moshe Chalomish, who writes in chapter 30 that he believes that the reason why we don't have those 4 words in Nusach Ashkenaz is because of Christianity, and it was felt that it would offend or cause danger to us amongst Christians if we refer to Mashiach in that context, and therefore it was deleted due to a possible danger, and therefore you might argue, well, let's put it back again. But Rabbi Cooper used to say to me, what we have in our Masorah, what we have handed down to us, we carry on. We don't chop and change, even if we find that there's a reason, a good reason to do so. And so we carry on with our minag, they carry on with their minag.
Not just Nusach Sfad, but also Sfardim?
Yes,
Sfardim. Yeah, Nusach and Sfardim as well. I said Eidot Mizrach, yeah.
And Sfardim say a whole long thing for the last...
Yeah. Oh yes, they add, I think it's whole 10 extra words.
Yeah.
Which I can't say by heart, but yeah. Yeshua, Nechama, Panasah, Chalkala.
On holiday, we had one of our Ashkenaz and one Sfard. So the Sfardim said all these... He hasn't had to pause for a whole minute.
Yeah, you have to wait.
Is not a Chabad that say for your Mishpacha?
No, I asked, and apparently not. Well, that's how I remember the name, though. Just to conclude, there is a question which comes up which might surprise some of you, and that is, if somebody is very much devoted to a pet which dies, there has been people coming to their Rabbonim asking, may I say Kaddish for my pet dog? I had no relations, and this was a very therapeutic pet who really gave me comfort, who brought me my pipe and my slippers and my newspaper and showed me unconditional love. And I would like to say Kaddish for my pet dog. Now, you might find this funny, but this is a serious question for a lot of people who find it very therapeutic to have a pet who gives them that company when they are lonely. And we mustn't laugh at it. And I know of somebody who lights a candle every year after that their pet dog had died. The problem is that it relates to a misunderstanding of what Kaddish is. The animal world do not share the afterworld. There's no such thing as reward and punishment for the animal kingdom, because they don't have the chira, they don't have free will. Human beings have free will. There is such a thing as reward and punishment. It's a zechus for the neshama to give extra reward if a kaddish is said. And therefore, you know, if you want to learn Torah in memory of a pet, gusun tahait, because you're learning Torah is a mitzvah anyway. So you say it's a zechus for that pet. Okay, you've still got a mitzvah, but you cannot say kaddish for the pet. And even if pets do have some form of afterlife, Gilgul or ever, and we're not going down the Kabbalah route, they do not follow the path of reward and punishment. But if a person is so grieved at the fact that a pet has died, okay, they can take off work, they can share their memories with others, they can give tzedakah, whatever, They can say Tehillim, they can learn Torah, and all this is for your benefit. And therefore, no harm done. But it's an interesting shaila which does come up in modern day poskim. Anyway, may all our kaddishim to be kiddush Hashem Shemayim, and may all our tefillos be accepted as we now approach Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Chaim Aruchim, Leonard, on the outside of your dear father.
You can go to expensive restaurants and say kaddish to Andre Cook quite easily.
And may we all merit Chesiva Chesiva Tova, that there should be peace in all Klal Yisrael, hostages should be released, and there should be no more war with the Rishayim who are threatening us in our daily lives.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.